Welcome back to True Crime Brewery's Christmas Eve 12 Beers of Christmas episode. I'm Jill.
I'm Dick.
That was a mouthful.
It was.
Yeah.
But this is the penultimate episode.
Is it? I thought Love Actually was.
That's why I said penultimate.
Oh, okay. I getcha. Okay. So what we're doing tonight is we're doing the JonBenet Ramsey case. And we debated about doing it because it's been covered so thoroughly by so many different sources, but it
for
is the
so many years.
Right. But it is the 20th anniversary. It was on Christmas Day, 1996.
Yeah.
So I thought, what the heck? We should cover it. There's also been a couple new things that have come out.
It's some fairly new things. Yeah.
Yeah. So we'll talk about that. First, we'll do a 5-star review and a beer.
Okay.
Okay. All right. Let's see what we have for 5-star reviews. Give It a Listen by Mag and Moo. I've listened to most of the episodes, and I've decided that Dick isn't rude.
Thank you.
I like their interaction with each other. They clearly do a lot of research before the episode, which is nice. They review well-known cases and drink beer. Sometimes I thought Dick was pretty rude to Jill, in my opinion, which makes it hard to listen to at times. So this isn't super flattering, but it is a 5-star. So anyway, Meg and Moo, I appreciate the 5-star review. So welcome to the brewery.
Welcome, and thank you for that review.
I don't see that. I don't think most people do.
Rudeness?
Yeah, I don't see that at all.
I don't think so, but no. You know, I'm the guy doing it.
Maybe it's your dry wit can be a little misleading.
Yeah, they think I'm sardonic or sarcastic or something.
But you're the farthest thing from rude. Anyway.
I think so.
I appreciate
in
the
my
five-star
opinion.
Review. Yeah.
But nice review, thanks.
Okay. So what do we have for a beer?
I've been saving this one. Oh, here we are. This is Christmas Bomb, B-O-M-B.
All right.
Made by Prairie Artisan Ales from Tulsa, Oklahoma. Now, this is a fairly new brewery, just a few years old, and they are making some absolutely wonderful beers.
Wow, that's high praise.
And, you know, there's a lot of things in Oklahoma that aren't much fun, but this is one of them that is fun.
Okay. Why are there a lot of things in Oklahoma that aren't much fun?
Oh, I got to spend a year there during my training.
Yeah?
It was a horrible year.
Well, you can't blame the state for that.
And I probably should blame my own personal self for
I
that.
I think
but,
so.
But it wasn't fun.
No.
Christmas Bomb is a double or imperial stout.
Right.
So this is a big boy. It's a deep black color with absolutely no head. It has a coffee and chocolate aroma, a little bit of spice. And the taste follows the nose perfectly. Some espresso, dark coffee, some cocoa, a little bit of cinnamon. Very smooth, easy drinking beer. Again, this is a fairly high alcohol by volume, so it's one to share.
Okay, sounds good. Let's open it.
Okay.
Okay, Dickie, it's Christmas Eve, and we're going to head down to the quiet end of the bar to finish up the 12 Beers of Christmas. Well, we still have Love Actually, but that's not really a crime, so.
Right, that's kind of an extended movie review, right?
Right.
But I notice, you see what's on the TV down here at this end?
Yeah, it's the original.
The Santa Claus.
Right, the first one.
Yeah, well, the best one, of course.
Yeah, I think I've only seen the first one.
I've seen the first two.
Yeah, how was the second one?
Mundane. But the first one was just a sweet little movie.
Yeah, it's a nice movie.
And I don't really like Tim Allen that much, but he was a great Santa.
Yeah. I guess I like the part where he's turning into Santa. Once he's Santa, I could take it or leave it, but I like when he turns into Santa.
Yeah.
You know.
And how he's got all these kids following him around and telling him things that they want.
Yeah, and the beard grows overnight, and he gains all the weight overnight.
Yeah.
And then the doctor listens to his heart, and it's Jingle Bells.
Yeah.
Yeah, like that stuff.
Yeah. It was a cute movie.
Yeah.
So that's on TV, because Santa's not here, obviously. He's out working.
Right. But the volume's not on, so it won't interfere with our talk.
No.
Okay. So let's talk about JonBenet.
Okay.
So it was Christmas night, 1996, 20 years ago, and they had gone out to a party, right?
Yeah.
Family had gone to a party.
A neighborhood party or something.
Yeah.
And they get home, it's late.
Mm-hmm.
Off to bed, everybody.
Right. John Ramsey said JonBenet was asleep in the car. He took her in, put her to bed.
Mm-hmm.
Yep. And then Patsy got up? Patsy was the one that saw the papers and discovered the note.
Yeah.
Yeah.
And this was early, early morning, like 5 a.m. or something like that?
Something like that.
I mean, it was pretty early.
Early morning, yeah. And it was this two and a half page rambling ransom note, which to me is one of the most suspicious things about this case, is the ransom note.
Yeah, because it was written on stationery that was in their house. So the perpetrator who wrote the note wrote it while he was committing the crime.
Yeah, would have had to come in and sit there and write a 2.5-page note.
Right.
Either before or after he had killed the child.
And it's a strange note. I mean, they were asking for, what, like $118,000 in money.
Yeah, which was the pretty exact amount of what John Ramsey's Christmas bonus was that year.
I mean, it's just some weird stuff.
It was very weird, yeah. There were threats of beheading her. There was strange language.
Yeah.
And, of course, a lot of people have analyzed the handwriting and the style.
And concluded that it resembled Patsy.
Not everybody, but some people have.
Yeah.
And the comparisons I've seen, I definitely see the similarity. Now, John was eliminated from being the one who wrote the note, pretty much, with his handwriting samples.
But she finds the note.
Yeah.
And then finds that JonBenet isn't in her bed.
Right.
So, what are we going to do?
Yeah. So, I guess she went and woke up John.
And they called the police.
And they called the police.
Yeah, so that's good.
Yep, so there was a kidnapping.
Yeah, but, you know, it wasn't like they called the police 3 hours later.
That's true. I give them credit for that. Right? Okay. So the police come, and friends come, and the place is a bit of a zoo.
Right.
So this is a crime scene.
This is where, and most of the documentaries that talk about this are pretty critical of how the crime scene is handled.
Yes.
Or mishandled.
Right. Absolutely.
So there's people traipsing all over the place. Neighbors are cleaning up the kitchen.
Yeah.
You know, doing all sorts of stuff.
Right.
It could be eliminating evidence.
Sure.
So there's people traipsing all over the house. There's a lot of stuff going on. John, the father, seems kind of restless, just out of sorts. So I think one of the policemen suggested that maybe he could take a look around the house and see if there's anything missing or anything going on.
Right, which was stupid.
Yeah.
And that doesn't seem...
I mean, even 20 years ago, you didn't do that, did you?
No. Why would you do that? The police haven't thoroughly searched the house, obviously, and they're going to send him to do it?
Right.
Crazy.
So he and a family friend undertook the search.
Right. So John finds the body in the basement. He removes the duct tape from her mouth, which I guess would make sense if he thought he could resuscitate her, and ran upstairs with her.
Yeah.
So he gets upstairs with her and throws a blanket over her, which is a huge no-no, because all the contaminants.
Exactly.
Yeah. And one thing that was interesting, there was a recent episode of 2020 about this, where they were talking about the recent DNA testing that they're going to do. But they talked to a detective that was there with John when he brought JonBenet up, and she said that he frightened her. She said there was a nonverbal interaction between the two of us that made me feel like I needed to clutch my gun, that I might not get out of there alive.
Wow.
Yeah, I'd never heard anything like that before.
That's cryptic.
Isn't it?
Yeah.
Yeah. So that was interesting. So obviously she thinks John had something to do with it, I guess.
Well, he put a fright into her, that's for sure.
Yeah. So there's a ransom note from the pad of paper that belongs to Patsy. And JonBenet had been killed with a garrote. She'd also been struck in the head.
Right. She had a skull fracture.
Yep.
But I think cause of death was strangulation.
I think so. And the garrote was made with a paintbrush from Patsy's art supplies, the handles. So the person that did this would have to have come in, made the garrote, and written the note.
Yeah.
That makes me really suspicious of the family.
Oh, yes.
Yeah. Now also, fibers from Patsy's black and red jacket that she'd worn the night to the party were on the duct tape, on the inside of the duct tape that had covered JonBenet's mouth.
Mm-hmm.
But after it had been removed and the blanket had been around and stuff, it's hard to really use that as conclusive evidence.
Right. But at the same time, that makes some of the later stuff we're going to talk about in terms of DNA evidence, you know, there's so many areas of kind of cross-contamination that could have happened.
Right.
that I don't know how helpful any DNA evidence is going to be.
Yeah, I see what you mean about that. Also, what I thought was strange was that the Ramseys wouldn't talk to the police in an interview, right? They ended up going to CNN when they did their first interview. Also that day, Patsy was wearing the same outfit she wore to the party the night before. So that to me is odd.
Yeah.
She's not the kind of lady that's going to get up and put on the same outfit.
No, she's a beauty queen.
Right. So that's odd. And if you're going to get up and make coffee, I'm sure she had a robe or something that she'd normally wear.
Right.
So it makes me think she was up all night.
It sounds like she could have been.
Yeah. So there's another strange thing.
Yeah. Well, I mean, the accusation has always been that the Ramseys got special treatment because they were a wealthy couple.
Yeah.
And they had friends in the district attorney's office, you know, just that they were treated differently than other possible suspects.
That's possible, yeah. But it was strange that JonBenet's body was still there and John Ramsey was calling his pilot to take the family out of town.
Yeah.
Why would you do that?
Huh, who knows?
Yeah. So, on the other hand, there were 38 registered sex offenders living within 2 miles of the family.
Mm-hmm.
Now, down the basement, there was a window that was open, and there was also a suitcase underneath the window.
Right. So the hypothesis was that somebody had gotten in through the window, and the suitcase was going to be something to transport JonBenet away from the house, but they couldn't get it through the window.
So right.
They left the suitcase there.
Right.
And left her there.
But I don't think they found any stranger DNA on the suitcase.
No, they didn't.
Right. Although the person could have been wearing gloves, I guess. So, like I said, their lawyer wouldn't let them go in to interview with the police, they said, or they wouldn't go in, whatever reason. But their lawyers wanted the police to give all the questions that they were going to ask. They wanted them to submit them ahead of time, or they weren't going to go in for the interview.
Right.
So that's demanding. That's unusual to demand that of the police.
Mm-hmm.
Especially you're trying to find out what happened to your kid.
Yeah.
Yeah.
I mean, here they are maintaining their innocence.
Mm-hmm.
But they go months without it being interviewed by the police.
Yeah.
They declined the interview.
Right.
And they had a defense team that they set up. It's amazing. This is just for the two Ramseys. We're three Ramseys counting the son.
Okay.
There were 8 lawyers, 4 publicists, 3 private investigators, 2 handwriting analysts, and a retired FBI profiler.
Wow.
That's all Team Ramsey.
And this was all early on in the investigation?
This is all early on.
Wow. Okay. So even before they were really formally accused.
Right.
If they were ever, I guess they weren't really ever formally accused.
No, they weren't, were they?
Not really. No, not really. So the speculation about motives. One was that Patsy snapped and did something like hit JonBenet in the head and kind of accidentally killed her, right? Because JonBenet did have a bedwetting problem, and they thought maybe that outraged Patsy and she whacked her.
Well, she's only 6. I mean, a lot of kids have bedwetting problems at age 6.
Sure. And they had pull-ups back then.
Yeah, they did. But in it, though, it wasn't the head trauma that killed the child. It was strangulation that killed her.
Right. But if she'd given her a bad head wound and then decided, oh, I'm going to cover it up by strangling
sure,
her.
Sure, yeah.
Although that's kind of wacky thinking.
It is.
So another motive was that maybe John was sexually molesting her. And it was a cover up for that.
Yeah.
Yeah. But the Ramseys.
No evidence ever for that.
No, but she was sexually molested, we should say. There were signs of that in the basement.
There were some vague signs. There wasn't any real definitive signs.
What were the signs?
Just some mild exterior trauma to the vaginal area, the genital area.
How else would that happen?
Well, but they didn't think there was any penetration or anything. There wasn't any signs that anything had been going on long term.
Yeah.
So.
Okay. But still, why would that happen?
Well, I mean, the Ramseys have steadfastly maintained that an intruder got into the house, and that's
yeah
the perpetrator of the crime. And there's plenty of proponents for that theory.
There are, yeah. Yep.
In fact, the profiler, who's quite famous, feels that that's the most likely scenario.
Now, which profile is this? Is this the one that worked for them? Or
yeah.
Oh. Okay.
His name's Douglas. He's written a book or two.
Okay.
So he's pretty famous. He's, I think, maybe one of the guys that the guy in Silence of the Lambs was based on.
Oh, okay.
Anyway, he thinks that that's generally what happened.
That there was an intruder.
That there was an intruder. And he bases that on some of the evidence for the intruder and also some of the stuff that if a family member was involved, they'd construe events so that somebody else would find the body. Now, in this case, the father found the body.
Okay.
And the other thing the profiler said is that when a family member is involved in a murder, they're likely to cover the child's body in a protective manner, which wasn't the case.
Mm-hmm.
He also removed the duct tape from her mouth and loosened the cord around her, which goes against the theory of staging the body.
What do you mean? How does it go against that?
He removed those things. He didn't leave them on for people to see.
Oh.
So that's what the profiler says. He's generally in agreement that there was an intruder.
Well, is it possible that Patsy did it and John didn't know until the morning and he didn't know where she was?
Sure.
Maybe Patsy did the whole thing on her own?
Sure. Why not?
So that's possible.
Yep.
You know, there is some debate about the handwriting in the note, but there are over 200 similarities between them. And when you see side by side, they did over 100 different writing samples from Patsy, and they compared it to the note. And I just have to say the similarities are quite striking. I don't know how many people write like that. I'm far from an expert. But to me, it's very similar looking as a layperson.
Yeah.
Yep. Now, what about this guy who played Santa at the Christmas party?
Well, he was briefly a suspect.
Right.
But pretty quickly cleared.
Yes.
As were a number of other people.
Right. But there was some talk that he had a close relationship with JonBenet and that she'd said to someone that Santa had a special present for her later or something.
Yeah.
That didn't amount to anything, really.
Nothing.
Okay. So her underwear had some male DNA, an unknown male.
Right. And they've tested over a couple hundred samples. And they've run it through the big database, and there's no matches.
Right. So what do you think of that? Does that eliminate the Ramseys?
I don't think it definitely eliminates them until you can find out whose DNA it is.
Yeah.
If you can find that out.
Right. So they had these grand jury proceedings. I think it was 2 years later, right?
2 or 3, 1999.
Yeah. So the grand jury said yes to an indictment, but the DA nullified the findings of the grand jury and did not file charges against the Ramseys.
Yeah, I guess the thought was that it was going to be too difficult to prove beyond a reasonable doubt that one or both of the parents was involved.
Right.
So.
But that is unusual for a DA not to go with the grand jury's decision.
It is definitely breaking tradition for a district attorney to not follow a grand jury's recommendation. I guess even if you think you have a loser of a case, you're still going to go to trial, because that's the way the grand jury worked.
I guess so.
But not in this case.
Now, the governor at that time, Bill Owens, he was furious about this, that they didn't go forward with it.
Right.
He actually made a statement, like, calling out John and Patsy Ramsey.
Mm-hmm.
Did you see that?
Yes.
Yeah. And he said they should return to Colorado and help the investigation if they were innocent.
Yeah, they're back in Georgia.
Yeah, so they moved pretty shortly after.
Yeah.
Which I guess you really can't blame them for that. It must be impossible to live there with the huge publicity going on.
Yeah, no, I don't blame them for that.
No.
At all. But in the court of public opinion, they come off looking not so good, right?
Right, right. Well, it was just this week that it was announced that up-to-date DNA analysis will be done. And they're going to tap into the FBI's database of over 15 million known offenders. Because there's this 2008 touch DNA analysis they did, which was skin cells. And they claimed that this would exonerate the Ramseys, but many researchers disagreed with that. So it's still undecided. There are different opinions about it.
Yeah, well, I think we mentioned that earlier. I mean, with all the people at the crime scene, and all the stuff going on, I don't know that touch DNA would be very significant.
But they tested all the people that came to the crime scene.
Right.
So you're thinking it might have been transferred.
Yeah.
Yeah. True. So there was this touch DNA on her leggings, and there was the DNA on her underwear. Now, it's not like 100% match or anything, but they found that it could be from the same unknown male.
Could be.
So they're not sure yet.
Right.
So that's why they're going to do the further analysis with more up-to-date techniques.
Well, it'd be nice to finally figure out what happened to the child.
Yeah. Now, what's your opinion on the whole beauty queen thing?
Oh, don't ask me that.
Well, just, you know, you don't be emotional about it. Just tell me your generic intellectual opinion on it.
But here's a six-year-old who's dressed up to look like a 20-year-old. And maybe this is the pediatrician speaking, but to me that's another form of child abuse, doing stuff like that to a child. I just think it's horrible.
It is offensive, but I'm sure it could be just a different culture that we don't understand as well. But I do feel like...
That could be.
I do feel like they're kind of sexualized.
No question.
Yeah. And when I see pictures, there are a few pictures of her not made up. And she just looks like a cute kid. And then the made-up ones are just... You're yucky to me.
They're garish.
Yeah.
Just,
I don't like them.
You're looking at a six-year-old hooker or something like that.
It's horrible.
It's just horrifying.
Yeah. Reminds me of that movie, Little Miss Sunshine. Those girls in that were horrible.
Yeah.
But I'm sure all their parents aren't bad people. Some of them probably mean well.
No. And, you know, the mother was a beauty pageant person.
Right.
So, you know, she was probably trying to get her daughter interested in the same types of things. So I don't necessarily fault her. I just think the whole beauty pageant stuff in little kids is just that.
Yeah, distasteful.
Quite.
Yeah. Well, yeah, maybe they should have to wait until they're older and they can make their own decision. I kind of feel like that with a lot of things. Like, why do you push little kids into things that they need to decide on their own whether they want to do it or not?
Yeah.
I feel that way about a lot of things, and this is one of them.
That's true.
Yeah.
And who knows, maybe JonBenet said, I love doing this, Mommy.
Yeah,
but
yeah.
I don't know.
But, you know, kids kind of love pleasing their parents, too.
Sure they
do. So that's kind of iffy.
Mm-hmm.
So Patsy died in 2006 from ovarian cancer.
Right.
She had survived it before this happened.
Yes.
And it came back.
Mm-hmm.
So Burke, he's now 29 years old, and he's a software engineer. And I saw that he was interviewed by Dr. Phil this year, but I'm not a Dr. Phil fan. I didn't watch it. I just feel like he's kind of the word I'm looking for Dr. Phil.
Yucky.
Yeah, I just feel like he objectifies people.
Yeah, I don't want to say sleazy, but...
Kind of sleazy.
He's just got that snake oil salesman viewpoint.
Kind of feel that way. We're making lots of friends tonight.
We are.
So, 5 years ago, John Ramsey remarried. She's cute. I saw her on 2020.
Mm-hmm.
A little bit younger than him, I have to say. And he wrote a book called The Other Side of Suffering. So John Ramsey, he did lose another daughter to a car accident a few years before JonBenet died from a previous marriage. I think she was a teenager.
Yeah.
Yeah. So I do feel bad for him about that. And if he lost both these girls and he is innocent, then that's really sad.
Yeah, I think... In my looking or view of this case, I don't think he had anything to do with it.
Really?
Yeah.
Interesting. So what do you think about this calling the pilot while his daughter's still laying there? What was that thought process? And I'm curious.
Just wanted to get away.
Yeah. Do you do that?
Well, he probably wasn't thinking real clearly.
True. Well, yeah, I guess I would think you'd want to be there, though, and help find out what happened. But, you know, I'm not in his shoes, so I guess I don't know. Nope. Could just be that he wanted to get his family away, protect them.
Could be. I mean, if you're thinking that an intruder was the one who did this, you want to get the rest of your family to a safe place.
True. No. That's a good point, yeah. So you don't think he had anything to do with it. So do you think it was an intruder?
Could be.
Okay. Now, why would the intruder write the note there and make a garrote there?
I think the more likely thing is that the mother did it, or was complicit in it.
What would her motive be?
Well, I don't know that she needed a motive.
Really?
I think she could have, as you suggested, maybe JonBenet wet the bed and she just snapped and did something to her.
Okay.
I don't know.
But that's just an elaborate cover-up.
But if you look at some of the evidence, they point to her.
A lot of it does, yeah.
So, but that's just, it wouldn't surprise me if they finally definitively said she did it, and it wouldn't surprise me if they said there's definitely evidence that an intruder broke in and did it.
I kind of feel like they're never going to know for sure.
I probably think you're right.
Yeah. Because even if they find DNA evidence, there's so many people in and out of there. The mm-hmm. only thing that really makes me think Patsy had anything to do with it was the, the ransom note.
I think the ransom note is pretty damning.
Yeah. And then the garrote is pretty damning.
Yeah, although an intruder could have done that, although...
But if you're going to strangle a kid on the spur of the moment, you don't take time to make a garrote.
Probably you use your hands, right?
I would guess.
And I guess the other part of that, if it was an intruder, they'd had to be searching around the house to find the paintbrush.
Yeah.
To make the garrote.
And the room where they found her, they say, was very out of the way. It wasn't like you just went down to the basement. You had to go through another door into another room.
Yeah.
Yeah.
It was kind of secluded.
And one thing I didn't mention was the pineapple. Have you heard about the pineapple?
Yeah.
Yeah. So she had pineapple in her stomach.
Mm-hmm.
There was a bowl of pineapple in the kitchen.
Right.
Yeah. But according to the Ramsey parents, JonBenet went right to bed.
Mm-hmm.
So it kind of makes it possible that she got up and had a snack. Because it was still undigested in her stomach.
Yeah.
So that means it had to be within a couple of hours of her death, right?
Right.
So that's kind of weird.
Mm-hmm.
And then you're thinking an intruder came in, gave her a snack, wrote the note. So he would have had to, even if he came in the basement window, he'd have to go all the way upstairs for that other stuff.
Yeah.
So that's kind of odd.
I mean, I think it's difficult to put all that together.
Yeah.
But, that's the possibility that it could be an intruder.
Yeah. Well, I mean, it's hard to say for sure that it was Patsy, too, because it seems like she did seem to love JonBenet from what most people said.
Yeah.
Yeah.
But like you said, maybe she just snapped over something that might seem insignificant to us and did something to her.
Okay. Well, I could see that happening, but then why the weird cover-up? It's a weird cover-up.
Well, best she could come up with at the time? I don't know.
Yeah. Okay. Well, it's an interesting case that we've been, the country's been wondering about it. Well, I guess the world's been wondering about it for 20 years now.
Yeah, it's a very publicized case.
Yeah. And it's one that might never be solved. So
I'm thinking you're in the right ballpark when you say it probably won't be.
Yeah.
We'll see. See what the new DNA techniques can reveal.
Yeah, you never know.
Oh.
Now, John Ramsey, in his book, he said that every felon should be DNA tested whenever they're arrested and kept in a database, and that would help with the identifying people.
Well, sure.
Okay. Well, I don't think they do that now.
No, they don't.
They don't. So I don't know if it's an expense issue or a record-keeping issue. Why do you think they don't?
Well, and there'd be too much false positive stuff.
Really?
In the sense that, so let's say I'm a bank robber.
Okay.
And my DNA goes in, but I'm not a person that goes around kidnapping or raping or murdering people. So, I mean, that's kind of a waste of effort to have my DNA in there trying to solve crimes that involve rape or murder.
Okay. You're saying maybe just for violent criminals, violent offenders.
Yeah, I guess that's what I was trying to say.
Okay.
In my oblique way.
Yeah. And maybe definitely pedophiles, violent pedophiles or repeat offenders.
Oh, for sure.
For sure, yeah. So in 2017, the Colorado Bureau of Investigation is going to open its new DNA testing facility, and they'll have more advanced testing techniques, and they're going to do some testing on the evidence from JonBenet's case. So they haven't given up on it.
No, it's still an open case.
Yeah. But you know, one thing I just have to say about this is there are a lot of kids that have been killed, unfortunately. Poor kids.
Sure.
kids of different cultural and racial backgrounds that don't get this kind of attention.
That's right.
So in that way, I kind of feel bad even giving this the attention, because I feel like because she's a rich little white girl, she's getting so much more attention than other people, other children that deserve just as much.
Well, absolutely. But there's no getting around that.
I guess not. Okay, well, thanks, Dickie, for the conversation.
Anytime.
And, Merry Christmas.
Ho, ho.
So let's finish off our beers and go have some eggnog.
You drink the eggnog. I'll watch.
All right, you continue with the beer, and I'm going to have some eggnog with some Captain Morgan's.
Okay.
Okay.
Good stuff.
So before we close for the night, just a little reminder about our Amazon link, tigrabber.com/Amazon. If you're shopping on Amazon, if you use it, you could help us out, give us a little support. Also, we always encourage 5-star reviews on iTunes. We've made our way up to 4.5 stars. Thank you all for your help. And we're on our way to 5, I think. We can just, a few more people can make that effort.
I'm definitely feeling 5.
We also still have a few more surveys we need done at survey.libsyn.com/tiegrabber. The link I've put on Facebook and also on Twitter. So if you have a couple minutes to do that, that will really help us out.
It would.
Yep. So thanks a lot. Merry Christmas.
Ho, ho, ho.
And to all a good night.